Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
So Wellspring has really given us as parents a great opportunity and a place to bring our kids to, that they're not just babysitting them for an hour and a half. They're teaching them, they're engaging them, they're guiding them. A lot of the different tribe leaders for the boys are terrific. To have these adult role models and these men that are, you know, business leaders, are pillars in the community, love Jesus, are focused on, you know, helping these boys, you know, grab a hold of what, you know, Jesus has for them and lead lives that are pleasing to him. It's just awesome to have those student leaders that we have. We didn't have to be the ones always, not pushing, but, you know, bringing the Bible and Jesus to our kids. There was someone on the outside, because honestly, most of the kids will listen to other people before they listen to their parents, right? They're a part in Wellspring Students by serving the band and just helping out wherever needed. But they also serve a lot in kids' church. They come every morning early. When I come to the church with the band, like at 7 in the morning, and they start help preparing and being involved. But they really enjoy doing it. It's really given them a sense of purpose and a little bit of responsibility. I think one of the things, too, I've seen both of their confidences just kind of rise as they've participated in the different ministries. They, on their own, have just taken a hold of ownership of what they're doing and being a part and feeling that they have value there, that other people see their value as well and that they're needed. And Wellspring's a very inviting, encouraging place for them to start, you know, belonging as they believe and as they start to learn more about Christ. And as parents, then we can just step back and just let God do what he's going to do and just see them take their own separate walks of faith. Being someone that was raised in church and took ownership at a very young age in ministry, in the church, in the people, and growing, and to see that Wellspring is very much in tune with that. They are focused on pouring into the youth, to see them not just go in and go out, but to take part, to be changed, to impact lives of others, to be leaders in their community and leaders within their school. And they've afforded us that opportunity at Wellspring by the way that they structure and they run things. And they've allowed us as parents to jump in and be a part. You know, this is our church. This is our family. These are our people. You know, this is our community. You know, we're in this thing together. We want your kids to be raised right as much as you want them to be raised right. So what can we do to help? And ultimately, how can they grow up to be the men and women of God that he's called them to be?
Well, all right. Good morning. My name is Trey. I'm the pastor. This is Eric Colquitt, our student pastor. I've asked him to join us today. Will you guys welcome Eric to the stage?
How we doing?
That's right. Woo-hoo. So if you're a guest today, we are in the middle of a series that we are calling All in the Family. And it's essentially a series about our church's approach to partnering with families to push our kids toward a shared goal. We all want our kids to have the best life possible. And what we're talking about for the last few weeks and this week and next week is what we do as a church in an effort to partner with parents to make that happen. Last week, we focused extensively on what we do in our elementary age environments, birth through fifth grade. Today, we're going to pick up sixth grade through 12th, middle school, high school, which is why Eric's out here to talk to us about how we do that. How we partner with parents. So, Eric, let's just jump right in. Tell me a little bit about what we do to partner with parents of
teenagers.
Well, thank you. I think I will. first of all, let's give it up for that student band. Weren't they awesome? It's so awesome to see students in the band. And how about Davis? Didn't he do a good job on the welcome? Yeah.
Davis!
That's right. And really, the first thing I wanted to say to you guys today is I'm a parent, Trey's a parent,
yep,
of students,
yes,
of teenagers.
Yes.
So we're there, and we understand what you're going through. And understanding teenagers has been something that parents have been trying to do since teenagers were a thing. So parenting teenagers can be a difficult thing, but we understand. And as a church, we want to say that we want to come alongside, we want to partner with you to help understand how to lead students to know Jesus better. And what this means is we don't want to just sit on the sidelines and kind of judge from a distance. We really want to figure out ways to empathize with them, to figure out exactly what they're going through, and to learn to connect them more, which is one of the things that April talked about last week. Our family ministry goal is to help parents win. And so that's what we're going to talk about today as we continue our discussion. I love how we started this series off. I love the verse that we're framing this series around, and it's this verse right here. It says, start your children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. It's such a good verse for us to think about how we point our kids, our students, towards Jesus. I love this part, on the way they should go. Trey talked about this 2 weeks ago, that this is not just a directional thing. It's a personal thing, too. It's on the way they know. And as students, as students are trying to figure out who Jesus is, they're trying to figure out who they are in Jesus. And so this is just an important principle. And so we're going to frame our discussion today around this verse and talk about ways that we as a church can work together to point people to Jesus.
Well, the thing we love about this verse, you know, start children off on the way they should go. Sounds like a journey. You know, we're always on a journey with our kids, and every decent parent in this room wants the exact same thing. We want a great finish. We want our kids to be successful. And so whenever you're going to go on a trip, whenever you're going to go anywhere, you need to know where you're going. And last week, April kind of introduced this concept that we've adapted as a church that we call Map It. And so we want to map out the preferred future for our elementary age kids and for our middle school and high school kids. And so today, Eric's going to talk about how we do this with teenagers in mind.
Yeah, it's an incredible resource. It's a great little thing to remember for us as parents and as a church. And it's just a simple acrostic. And so let's just jump right in. The first is the M, which stands for Meet Other Influencers of Faith. And what we learned last week is that the number one thing that matters in a student's life in order for them to continue growing in their faith is to have people besides their parents that will come around them and point them to God. And what the studies have shown is that if we can get five people other than their parents to be in their lives, to pour into their lives, then over 75% of those students ended up continuing on in their faith and growing to a closer relationship with God. So we put a high emphasis, we put a lot of effort around finding right leaders to put around our students to point them to God.
And I'm actually going to talk about this next week because, you know, some of you were raised like I was. Many of you are not. I was very blessed. I was raised in a home that loved God, that pointed me towards God. I was raised in churches that loved God and pointed me towards God. And I can tell you without a doubt that Wellspring doesn't exist without having other outside voices in my life, men and women in middle school and in high school, even in college, who weren't my parents, who weren't paid to be at church, who were just, you know, normal people, but who came alongside me at different points in my life and spoke into my life. And you know, they're still heroes in my life to this day. And so we both know the value of that. And rather than you know, having to go right out and interview adults, which would just be weird, you know, hey, do you want to mentor my child? That'd be weird. We want to do that work for you. You know, we recruit, we train, yep, we encourage, we invest in leaders that can play this role in your student's life.
Yeah, that's where we step in. We come along and help find those leaders to be around your students. And so what our goal is on every Wednesday night for these leaders is...
Hold on, you said that. Yeah. Explain to them what the structure is.
Yeah.
Because like for students, we meet on Sunday. I mean, for elementary age kids, they meet on Sunday mornings. When do students meet?
Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8. And on most Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night but one, we do something called Tribe Night. On the other Wednesday night, it's called House Party. And it's basically like a worship event like we experienced this morning. So at Tribe Night, we have leaders, at least two adult leaders in every tribe that are made up of gender and grade. And so these leaders get in there, and their goal, their driving force, is to help students make a connection, either with each other or with them as great leaders or with God. And so that's their focus on a Wednesday night. And it's not simply just to get through a curriculum that they have. It's to take what we're learning and help tie that to what students are experiencing in their daily life. And so we work to find the right leaders to put in place to help your students know God more, because we know that's so important. It helps them as they leave high school know that their faith is strong, and it's not just something coming from their parents. There's other people that have poured in with them. So that's the M. The next letter is the A, which is add shared experiences of warmth. Let me explain what this means. There's kind of two sides of this one. as well. There's a church side and there's a parent side. When students were asked what kind of kept you connected to a church, what were the things that kept you connected? Number one was relationships, and number two was a sense of warmth. And that warmth is something that's kind of makes you feel good. It makes you feel connected. It makes you feel accepted. And so when students have those relationships there, that was the most important. It gives them, it opens the door for them to explore their faith. So first they have that sense of belonging, and then they can explore their beliefs. And so we as a church place a high value on this as well, because this is the same for adults too. We believe in the ability to create a place where people can belong.
Right. Hopefully you've experienced this on a Sunday morning, but we do it on Wednesday nights as well. We want it to be fun. We want it to be engaging. One of our core values as a church is that we say we invite people to belong before they believe. And that's not just a saying. That's a way of life. It's not unique to us. It's not original. We got it from Jesus. Jesus had a group of 12 followers who belonged to his group for 3 years. They hung out with him. When things got bad, they all abandoned him. They clearly didn't believe yet. But for 3 years, he allowed them to belong, to get to know them, and then eventually they believed. We believe the same thing. We believe God is so good. If we can just allow people to belong to God's group, eventually they're going to change their mind about God. And we see it over and over and over again. And that is a driving force for the way we create our student environments, is we really want them to feel like they can belong to our group, whether they believe in God or not, that they can belong to what we're doing and be a part of it.
That's right. And so you can know as a, as a church, we are committed to that. We're committed to providing this safe place for your students. But there's also a parent side on this as well. There's a role that we have as parents to provide warmth in our homes and our families as well. Studies show that when families have a provide a sense of warmth for their kids, then the ability for them to pass on their faith and for their kids to continue to grow in their faith is just huge.
You know, I'm sure for most of these parents of teenagers, like, they're thinking the number one word that describes my teenager is warm.
Yeah, that's it.
Warmth.
Seventh grade boy, warmth.
Just warmth.
Yes.
Just bubbly. Just effervescent.
Yes.
Just a ray of sunshine.
Right. So how do we get that in our families?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
We have, so I've got some ideas up here for you. So these are some ways that you can add warmth to your family. One of the things that I've discovered in doing student ministry over the past few years is that when we get away, we go to a trip or to a conference or to camp, the amount of connection, the amount of warmth, the amount of acceptance that happens on those trips is through the roof. It's like 6 months worth of tribe night all in one experience. And so that kind of gives us a clue as parents about what we can do with our families as well to add warmth. And so the first one is to plan getaways. Just, even if it's a night, just get away from the norm and create a shared experience with your family. And that means the world to them. That connects you in a way that you'll never know. So that's a way. Another thing that you can do to add warmth is attend Wellspring together. There's nothing like coming to church and worshiping God and hearing great teaching all together on a weekly basis. So attend Wellspring together. Another way is to serve together. A great way to provide warmth in your family to connect with each other is to serve together on a Sunday morning. And we kind of have a different philosophy about this.
Well, I know this sounds like just like a commercial for us. come to church together,
yes.
Serve together. But I promise you, it's not. You're busy, your kids are busy, and so one of the things we think we can do is provide a great space once a week for you to spend time together. And so that means we do our ministry a little differently than maybe you experienced growing up in church or other churches you know about. On Sunday mornings, our elementary age kids and below have their own separate environment on a Sunday morning. But for middle school and high school students, we are convinced that the best place for them is to be in this room on a Sunday morning with us, to be serving with us, and to beginning to learn what it means to just attend church and to be a part of a church and to share that with their family and to share that with their friends. Now, one of the reasons Eric and I are passionate about that is we both kind of cut our teeth in college ministry. That's where we were in college, we worked college ministry, and you could see from a mile away the difference in someone coming to college ministry or coming to church at all, and they had grown up in a church where everything was about them. And until they graduated high school, they had their own little room and their own silliness. And the guy probably had a goatee, and he probably yelled really loud, and he probably made them eat gross things. And we do that on Wednesday nights. But on Sunday mornings, you know, we want our kid, no offense to youth pastors with goatees, whatever, that's fine. But what happens is when you graduate high school, and church has always been about you, and every environment has been totally about you. You're going to go to college, look for a church, and try to find a church that's all about you, and you're not going to find it. And that's a super easy off-ramp to give up on faith. And so what we are committed to doing is for our middle school and high school students, we love our middle school and high school students. We think what we do in this room is an amazing environment for them. But we want our middle school and high school students to start learning what it means to attend a church and to be a part of a church and to serve in a church and to sit on a row with people that are younger than them and people that are older than them and people that are way older than them and just get used to what that feels like. Get used to being a part of a community of faith, not just a little sliver that's completely tailored for them. And we are convinced, and we can actually see this because we have some seniors who are graduating and going to college right now, and like we're watching them. They're not looking at churches saying, what do you have for me? They're reaching out before they move, and they're saying, hey, just so you know, I'm coming. Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of your church. How can I help? Yeah. How can I serve? How can I be a part of this? And what we both know is if that's the way they go and they find a place where they can actually participate and give back and serve, they are far more likely to stay in church in college. They're far more likely to stay in church after college, and they're far more likely to stay in love with Jesus.
Yeah, so that's the win. That's the win for them to leave your home, go seek out a church, and plug in and continue growing in their faith. So serving together is a great way that you can add warmth to your family. One other thing about serving, another experience that you can serve at is our Love Weekend times. That's a great way family to get out and serve the community together. That adds so much warmth. So that kind of leads us to our next letter, which is the P, which is prioritize time together.
Right, and this is hard. I was just saying, you know, you're busy, your kids are busy, everybody's busy. The last thing you need to be hearing is you need to be doing more stuff. We totally understand that. That's why we want to make it super easy for you to prioritize time together. Again, like I said, Sunday mornings. We've kind of worked it out with the rest of humanity. Where not much goes on a Sunday morning before noon. You're welcome. We've been fighting that battle for 2,000 years. And even the NFL doesn't start till 1 o'clock. And so, you know, we try to keep... So Sunday morning is a great place to do that. But there's many other times you can do that as well. So how do we help parents prioritize that time together?
Yeah. So obviously, if you have a teenager, if you have somebody that's in middle school or high school, you've realized that the time you have with them is starting to shrink because the amount of time they're doing stuff on things away from their home has gone up tremendously, especially by the time they get into high school. So that's where we need to think about the importance of quality time versus quantity time because the amount of time you have with them has gone down a whole lot. And so as you think about quality time, you can think about that in two ways. You can think about spending spontaneous quality time with them and planned quality time with them. Let me give you an example of spontaneous. Maybe your son is home from practice, and he's getting ready to have his second dinner. That's a thing, by the way. Late night snack. Second lunch, all of them.
Yeah.
They just eat a lot.
They do.
You have boys. You definitely know that.
I do.
So use that time after practice as a moment that you can spend some quality time with your son. It doesn't feel like quality time for you, but it will for them. It'll matter for them. So just use that moment to spend with them. But there's also some planned time that you need to think through. We talked about having a getaway. That's a great planned activity for you to do. Also think about a family game night. You could do that maybe once a month. That's a great time to hang out with your teenager in just a fun environment.
How do you keep it from ending in war?
In war. Because play fun games.
My kids hate to lose.
Just play fun games that don't mean anything.
They're not familiar with the concept, Derek.
I'm not either. I don't know why that even came out of my mouth. But no, if it doesn't work for your family, then try something else. Then another thing that you need to think about is spending time with your students now means you're spending time with their friends. So make that an okay thing in your household. Make your house a safe place for their friends to come and hang out. Maybe even consider inviting them when you go out to eat or maybe a trip that you take. Make that an okay thing for them because that allows some good quality time for you to hang out with your student. When I was growing up, my home was a safe place for friends to come and hang out. We played games at my house a lot. And to this day, when I go home to see my parents, I still have friends that will come over and just want to play cards or something. So make it a safe place for your home, and that's a great way to spend some quality time. A couple other quick things. Train your student to be an adult. They already want to be an adult anyway. Help them know what that means. That means, like, train them to cook, train them to wash clothes, train them to work on the car.
Yeah, train them to wash clothes.
No, not like a chore.
Cut the grass.
Like, show them.
Make the bed.
What that's like.
Clean the bathrooms.
Yes, all those things. Don't make it a chore. Really help them understand how to do those things because that's valuable stuff they'll need to know anyway. The last thing I would say is maybe you want to read a book together or maybe you just want to find a hangout spot that's just for you guys. Find a coffee shop and just go hang out. Maybe it's one day a week. And that's another way that you can spend good quality time with your teens. We also have another resource that we talked about last week. It's the Parent Q app. April mentioned this last week. It's a great resource. If you don't have it, go download it now. You want to talk about?
No, it's fantastic because, like I said last week, you put in your child, their name, age, their grade, and then once a week, literally, this thing will cue you and give you prompts for what to talk to your students about. And it's a great thing to have, like, for example, for when they come in from practice late. One of the things, parents, we talk about prioritizing time together. You're just going to have to be okay with this because you did it. And it's all coming back around. That's the way life works. But what I found is the older a child gets, the more they become a student, the older they get, the later they want to begin a conversation. Like, the older they get, the later they want to start talking.
Yeah.
And dads, about 10 years ago, God gave us the greatest gift he's ever given dads. And that's called DVRs.
Just pause.
And so when it's 10 o'clock and your kid wants to talk, you can press pause on the show. It'll buffer. The Braves game will wait. Just put your phone down. You won't get any updates. And have that 5 to 10 minute, 20 minute, 2 hour, whatever, conversation. And if you don't know what to talk about, that's where this app comes in. Because it's telling you what your child's going through, the struggle. What were you saying last
week? Yeah, so this week mine said to me, hey, you have a 12-year-old daughter. Remember, she needs some alone time. Give her some space.
In other words, back off.
Back off. It's okay if she wants to spend all day in her room. Right. It's okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong with that. But so it's just a good resource. Go check that out. And I'd also mention we created a parent resource wall out here in the kids' hallway. Go check that out. There's some great stuff for parents of teenagers as well. So those are all things that we can do to spend time, prioritize and spending time with our students. And that kind of leads us to our next letter, which is the I, which is identify what's unique. And the first thing I would say about this is that we believe that God has created each of us to play a role in his story. We're all created unique, and we believe in that so much that this year for camp, we made that our entire theme. It's called The Originals. And so every day we would talk about the importance of them being created by God uniquely to play a special role in what he wants them to do throughout their life. And so we're going to talk about that some more, but we talked about camp just a little bit, so I think we should see a highlight film from camp. What do y'all think? Let's do it. Let's watch it. Yeah.
So Campbell's fantastic. I highly recommend it. But you were talking about, we called it the originals, and you were talking about identifying what's unique. So as a parent, how can you help me do that? How can you help me, how can you help all of us? Because we all have ideas of what we want for our teenagers, but how can you help us actually do what you're talking about, identifying what's unique in them and using that to point them towards God?
So at the beginning, we talked about the importance we have as a church and the hope as parents to figure out ways to empathize with what our students are going through. Not simply just to sit on the sideline and judge, but to really figure out what's going on with them. And so as we've looked at this and as we looked at some research, there are three questions that students are constantly asking themselves. And I think it's important as we look at these questions to figure out, this will give us a kind of a roadmap to understanding them more. So let's throw these questions up here. The three questions that they're constantly asking themselves are, who am I, where do I fit, and what difference do I make? And so let's just unpack these for just a minute. The first one is, who am I? And this has everything to do with their identity. And so students are constantly trying to figure out who they are. They're scrutinizing themselves, and they're trying to figure out how they kind of interact with the world around them. And so this is why they need some independence from you. They're pulling away from you. They need that alone time, and they need some time to separate and figure some things out. This is why you see them starting to wear clothes like you've never seen them wear before, or listen to music that they've never listened to before. It's because they are trying to figure out who they are. Oh, I thought you were about to say something. And closely associated with this one is the next question, which is, where do I fit? Once they figure out who they are, now they're trying to figure out where they fit, which is all about belonging. And this has to do with the number of quality, healthy relationships that the students have. They're trying to figure out who they are and how they interact with those around them, what groups they fit into. Their feelings of self-worth depend on the groups that they surround themselves with, their friends that they build around them. And so once they figure out who they are and where they fit, then they ask the question of this: what difference do I make? And this is all about purpose. They're trying to figure out how they will influence the world around them. And so as parents, it's important for us to realize this is what's happening in our students' lives. And so as we realize that, that's one thing. But then what do we do with it? How do we continue to guide them? Well, the awesome thing is we believe that God has an answer for every single one of these questions. And what we've done is we put these in a chart for you. And throw the chart up there. And before you leave today, on your way out, you'll get a card that's this chart. And it's just a resource for you to help you as your students are going through this. And as I said, I believe that God has an answer for every single one of these. So let's just go through this again. When the student is wondering, who am I? It's about their identity. The focus is on me. We believe that that question is answered by God's grace. God says, your identity needs to be found in me. I've saved you. I've given you grace. I created you for a purpose. You are beautiful just the way you are. Your identity can be found in me. And when a student realizes that, it can make a world of difference, give them all the confidence that they need. The next question is, where do I fit? It's all about belonging. The focus is on us. We believe that God answers that by love. God says, I sent my son to die on the cross for you. I love you. I want you a part of my family. In fact, not only that, is there is a church family that you can be a part of as well. The last question is, what difference do I make? This is purpose. The focus is on our world. And again, we believe that God answers that with mission. God says, I've created you for a purpose. You are special. You're unique. And you have a role to play in my story. And so knowing this as a family, knowing this as parents, helps us be able to guide them and truly continue to point them to Jesus.
Well, and it's funny because as Eric's been sharing this for the last three services, I believe this is a question every human is asking.
Yeah, totally.
We just start to wrestle with this in middle
yep.
school, and we really never stop. And so when I look at this, I think, man, and you know, I feel like I said, I had great parents, I had great church, I had great leaders. But I mean, I could have even benefited from having more clarity on these things when I was a student. And
yeah.
so like, if you're a parent in the room and you look at that, like, don't you wish someone had been that clear with you? And aren't you glad you get to be that clear with your students? And don't you think that will be better?
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of the way I look at that. It's like, man, that's so simple. It's so clear. And this sort of drives every approach we have. Cause you hear Eric keep saying this. It's not about bringing students in, saying, here's the list of five things you need to do to be a good person. Now go do that.
Right.
It's way more of an approach of, no, let's figure out who you are and let's discover together who God's made you to be.
Yep.
Because that's not rules. That's actually creating a relationship, and that relationship is what lasts a lifetime.
Yes. And that leads perfectly into our last point, our last principle, which is talk about faith. As parents, as the church, we've got to continually figure out ways to talk about faith, talk about things of God with our students. There's a verse in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy that I think helps us understand this even better, helps us understand the importance of this. Check this verse out. It says, talk about them, which is things of faith, when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. What this verse is saying is that as parents, as a family, this should be a part of our lifestyle. We shouldn't simply slide talking about things of God just to one day of the week. This should be a constant conversation. And so we should work as parents to talk about things of faith.
Okay, so we should. Everybody understands that. How does Wellspring students help us do that?
Yeah, and so communicating with students is a very difficult thing. It's a very hard thing to overcome. Studies have shown that by the time someone's in sixth grade, only 47% of them report having positive communication with their family. That number drops to 22% by the time that they are a senior. And so communicating with your student is a difficult thing to do. But here's the awesome thing. Like we've been talking about through this whole service, if you start them off well, if you put these principles into place, if you're doing these things on a consistent basis, then you can overcome some of those communication difficulties. If you're surrounding them with people that were pointing them to God beyond yourself, if you're creating that sense of warmth in your home, if you're prioritizing good quality time with them, then you can overcome some of these things. And you can truly be able to talk about things of faith. There's two other things I would mention about this. Number one is make your home a safe place for your students to ask questions, to struggle with things of God. We work really hard on Wednesday nights to do this as well. Like, we want students to come in and say, hey, I don't understand what we're talking about. I don't understand this thing about God. Tell me about it. How can we work that out? Your home should be the same place. You shouldn't judge them for having questions about God. You should allow them to be able to talk about those things. The other thing I would say is this, that when you have done the things that we're talking about, when you've gotten onto their level and really dug into what's important to them, that gives you the ability to then talk about the most important thing, which is the things of God. We can say it more simply this way. When you talk about what matters to them, you can talk to them about what matters. When you talk about what matters to them, then you can talk to them about what matters.
So that means you need to all go home and learn Fortnite.
Fortnite. So yeah, it's truly, no. What, or whatever sports team that they love, you know. You need to figure out what matters to them. Figure that out. Spend that quality time. Talk to them whenever you get a chance. Then you can talk to them about the things of, about faith. It's the same with adults, too. We're the exact same way. So those are just some good principles for you to think about. And I've got one more kind of fun principle, one more kind of activity that you can think about doing at home. And to do so, I've asked some students to join me on stage, and we're going to kind of demonstrate this for you. So, guys, come on up. And we do a version of this. So most of our tribes do a version of this each and every week. And we call it highs and lows. But this is just kind of another way that you can...
Hey, let's make some noise for the students.
Yeah, what's up? Awesome students. What's up? Everybody's in the right place. So this is called, go ahead and throw it on the screen. Wow, pow, holy cow, and how. And they've got a little sign that you can remember, take a picture or whatever, right, remember it. So as you think about talking to your students about connecting with them, figuring out their day, this is kind of a good way to get it started. So Elliot, tell me about something awesome. Tell me about your wow moment of the day.
I made a new friend today.
Elliot made a new friend.
Wow.
That's good for him. He needs to branch out. So that just gives you an opportunity to have a conversation. And then that leads us to the pow, which this is Matt. He's going to tell us about something difficult that happened in his day, something sad.
I got into a fight with my new friend that I made today.
Oh, the new friend. So you made a new friend, then you got in a fight with him. So more conversation for you to have to figure that out. And this is Holy Cow, which is Camille. She's going to tell us about how she connected with God today.
So I've been stressing out on what to major in college, but I prayed about it, and now I'm at peace with my decision.
So God kind of helped her know what... Yeah, give it up. That's a real thing, too. So that's just another way you can talk to them. And then Davis is going to talk to us about how. And this is how they played a role, your student played a role, in answering someone else's prayer.
I had a small part in...
Large role.
I had a small part in planning our student camp, and to see 14 people get baptized from it was pretty awesome.
Very awesome. Yeah, and that's a real thing. So that's just a simple, fun way that you can talk to your kids, your students about faith. Give it up for these guys one more time. Thank you.
Yeah. It's just fun to say.
Yeah.
Like if you sit down to dinner, it's like, all right, guys, it's time to play. Wow, pow, holy cow, how.
So I thought we were going to have some like sound effects to it, but whatever. No. So it's fun. One other quick thing I would say to you is every Thursday after we have a tribe night, I send out an email saying, hey, parents, this is what we talked about in students on Wednesday night. That's just another way. Hey, tell me about what y'all talked about last night. And if you're not receiving that email, let me know. Put it on your connection card. I'd love to help you make sure you get that. And so we've talked about a lot of good things today. Hopefully you've got some good resources and good information out of this today. But we wanted to really close today by hearing from students and hearing about what God's doing in their life so you can see how this all comes together. So check out this video.
Humphreys.
I'm Caroline Goff.
My name is Jack Kelly.
I'm Karen.
My name is Liam Morris.
My name is Hannah Mullen.
I am Isaiah Morrow.
My name is Stephen Parker.
My name is Carter Cooley.
I'm Tessa Caputo.
My name is Macon Martin.
I'm Hayden Scheimer.
I am Ella Condor.
My name is David Kelly.
God has definitely allowed so many more divine relationships into my life recently and allowed me to be so much closer to Him through other people and to be able to express my faith more openly. And camp really proved that.
My life was changed at camp.
At camp, my life changed a lot.
God is changing my life in a way I never thought possible. I'm meeting new people, I'm having great experiences. Camp was amazing all around.
My tribe, just so many great friendships, especially after camp.
Especially at camp, a couple of my friends, like in our tribe, they have some stuff going on, and God's really helped us bond together.
I got baptized about 3 or 4 months ago, and then I just went to student camp. I had a great time there, and I really felt God called me to be a leader.
My tribe's pretty cool. We always get along, and we've really grown as a family. Especially at camp, we run so close together, and I really love them all.
Like, we really love each other, even through the ups and downs.
I love that we can all talk to each other.
Blue tribe for the win.
I like that we're open to each other.
All the people in it, everyone's great. Especially Jack Kelly.
I'm blessed to say that I have amazing leaders. I personally believe I have the best leaders.
They help you through problems. They're always there for you, and if you need to talk to them, you can talk to them. And if you ever need something, they're there for you.
They are just so easy to talk to. You can share things with.
My leaders, I can hands down say, are the best leaders here at Wellspring Students. They have pushed me so much here at Students, and I wouldn't be here without them.
If we're ever having trouble, they're always there to talk to us about stuff, even if it's not related to a sermon. They're always there for us.
They're all, willing to give their time and just for us and when they can be doing something else.
But Wellspring, really just the worship experience and the way I've been serving, it's really changed my perspective on God.
I wasn't being myself, but now I'm not afraid to go and express my feelings and my faith to other people.
I really was going through some rough stuff, but I first came to church and then I came to Students that following Wednesday, and I was really wowed by just the factor of it's more of just a hangout. And then as the more you push into it, the more you put yourself into the situation, the more God can touch you through Students.
It changes lives, it really does, because even if you can just make the friendships first and get here and be surrounded by people who want you around, it'll change your life.
I don't want you to miss what Hannah said there. Just get here. Just get here, and you'll be surrounded by people that are glad you're here. And that'll change your life. As a student, if you know a middle school or high school student that's looking for a place where they can belong, looking for a place where people are going to be glad they're here, you found a place. Dare I say, if you know an adult looking for a place to belong, looking for a place and a people that are going to say, we're glad you're here. That's us. And it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with the God we serve. The God we serve is glad you're here. The God we serve is wild about you. And so how can we as his people be anything else but wild about you? And specifically in our conversation today about middle school and high school students, how can our environment be anything else other than we are glad that you are here? And we want to walk with you and point you towards Jesus. That is what we do in Wellspring Students every single week. And if you know a student, if you are a student, if you know a student out there in Myrtle Beach and they're not in a church home, this is the best place for them. This is the best place for families. Again, not because of us, but because of the God we serve. So I want to end today with the question I've been asking this entire series. What step can you take? What can God use you to do to invest in the next generation? What can God use you to do to give the best start possible today to a student? Maybe it's just prioritizing attending. Maybe you're watching online today. We're so glad you're watching online. But our children's environments and our student environments are here. And so what could you do to make sure your children or your students get to experience what we're doing in this room and in this building every Sunday? Maybe there's a friend of a friend you can invite to come back and be a part of this with you. Maybe you can step out and begin serving. I don't know what it is, but I know you do. So as we close, we're going to sing one more song, and then we're going to dismiss, and our prayer team's going to be down front like they always are. They would love to pray with you. Maybe pray about this step. Maybe you want to pray for your kids. Maybe you want to pray for your students. Maybe you want to just get some clarity about God in your own life. That's why they're going to be here. But as we close with this last song, don't let the coolness of the video and the stories and the warmth you probably feel in your heart, don't let it stop there. Let it spur you on to action. There is a step we can take to invest in the next generation. There's a step we can take to help make sure our children get a better start than we did. And whatever that step is for you today, I pray that God gives you the courage and the strength to to take it, because you will not regret it, because he has made us a promise. When we start children off on the way they should go, according to their way, not just directional but personal, as Eric said, when they are old, they will not turn from it. We can guarantee our kids a Christ-filled life, which, whether you realize it or not, that is all we hope for, because he provides the best life possible. So let me pray, and I'll see you next week. God, we love you so much. We just thank you for the time we have to be in your house and to celebrate what you want to do specifically today through students. God, I thank you for what you are doing through our students. I thank you for how they serve in every area of our church and how they lead well and how they're doing such a great job. Father, we give you all the credit for that. And we're so thankful for it. I just pray that you will move in the hearts of every father and every mother and every aunt and every uncle today, so that we can do whatever it takes to make sure we are giving the children and the students in our lives the best shot possible at the best start possible, because that produces the best life possible. Lord, we love you. We cannot wait to see what you're going to do as you do everything we can to point people to you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.